G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, September 9. I'm John Barker. Joining me, as usual, Joel Marshall and Carl the Jackal Diorio. Well, Joel, we have a couple of intriguing events in two states, the main races. We've got some unknown quantities arriving and resuming in the Darto Tan in Melbourne and a really intriguing run to the Rose in Sydney.
Yeah, exactly right. Spring really starting to heat up. Look, probably seeing better renewals of the Fian or the Darto as it is now known. Really tricky race to try and work out. But yeah, look, I've certainly seen better renewals of the race, but certainly plenty of interest there. And you mentioned the run to the Rose. Yeah, that's looking like probably one of the highlights of the day as we build to the Golden Rose in a couple of weeks' time. Big wraps on a couple of horses in that race, particularly one that's resuming. Speak of Kemantari. Is he going to be ready to win first up, or is he going to improve at his second start in like he did in his first campaign? It's going to be really interesting to see.
Carl, the Darto Tan, as I've noted, I think, on racing.com this week, no horse has ever won this race first up. 68 years. The last 12 years, there's been 19 attempted. There's been some short-priced favourites try to win it first up, including Contributor a few years ago. Started $2.20, didn't run a place. In fact, the only one of those 19 in the last 12 years to have run a place was Real Love, who ran second last year. And yet we find that three of the first five in betting are first up on Saturday. Are you with any of those first uppers?
I am. It's interesting, the Darto, where it fits in. It's an automatic ticket to the Cox Plate, but it really hasn't attracted a Cox Plate field or any resemblance of it. And it sits as the first or the 1600 metre contest in the pipeline and of those stepping stones. It used to be before the Craig Lee, didn't it? So it really... the Craig Lee used to be before, I should say. So really, it's kind of lost a bit of its positioning, its status, and its composition is not as strong. It's a bit of a mishmash, and therefore I don't know if those historical precedents hold as much weight because of that.
Okay, well, we'll soon find out. I mean, you're certainly right that the calendar changes certainly do. I mean, I realise that my shtick in what I write is all about these historical precedents, but often they are completely worthless because of the way these move around the calendar. And a perfect example last week was the Memsey Stakes, which what had been won by a first up horse 7 years in a row, but you know, when they put it up to $1 million,
changes the field.
Suddenly it becomes a target race, so they do have the best chances do have a lead up run, and the same will apply to when we discuss the run to the Rose later, which is slipped a couple of weeks back on the calendar this year.
And the quality of the European horses, different training methods, all that comes into it as well.
Exactly. All right, well, we'll get to the Darto very shortly because we're going to take you through the black type racing at the Valley on Saturday. And the first of those black type races is race 5. And speaking of intriguing, there's it can be a case made for all bar one of the 7 acceptors in this race. This is a 1,000 metre weight for age contest. Joel, a Group 2 worth 200,000.
Yeah, as you said, you can make a case for most of these. And look, without much confidence, I've gone for Hellbent, just hoping he'll get the last sort of crack at them. Inside gate's a bit tricky, but look, he's a talented horse. He wasn't able to win last time in. He was good first up behind Tavarchi and ran well in an Oakley Plate. He ran well every start, really. Just hoping a couple of these speedsters might overdo it and he'll get the last shot at them. So I've gone Hellbent to beat number 1 Russian Revolution, who was very good winning the Galaxy when backed off the mat first up last prep. Did have 51 kilos that day, a little bit different. Resuming with the 58.5 this prep, 5 Heatherly in for 3rd and 7 Hootson in for 4th.
Hootson on top for me. I think she leads from the wide barrier. I think she gets across and from that position is impossible to run down. So particularly with that lightweight as well, but probably rock bottom odds at the moment. From 1 Russian Revolution, class runner, draws to be up on the speed, probably eyeballing Hootson, and from that position can stay on. Hellbent for 3rd, I think probably is going to be 3 back on the fence and get a suck run through, and then for 4th I've got Stupido coming home from the back. Headley's the real hit and miss, or the runner. If she jumps and holds out Hootson, that could ruin the race for the favourite, and I can't see Headley winning under those circumstances either, so it may just set it up for something to come over the top. Interesting race.
Yeah, similar for me. 7 Hootsin to beat 2 Hellbent, 1 Russian Revolution, and I did think Heatherly might turn the tables on Miss Rock. Number 5 Heatherly for 4th. Race 6 is the first leg of the quaddie at Moonee Valley. It is the Mitchelton Wines Atlantic Jewel Stakes for 3-year-old fillies. Listed event over 1,200 metres, attracts a full field.
Yes, certainly one of the highlights of the day with these promising fillies going around. I've gone with 13 She's So High, sticking with her. I gave her a bit of a chance in the Quizette and didn't pay, but she ran well to get me in again. I thought she hit the line quite nicely there for 4th behind Crown Witness and Catchy. D. Oliver on, if she can get a good cart into the race, I think she'll run well. Again, at double figure odds to beat 1 Shoals. Did everything perfect in her first prep, and that win over Formality certainly looking like a strong form line. 4 Pure Scott, I think, might be one at a bit of odds to include. Always showed talent, trials and on race day, and just looked like she'd improve maybe over a bit of ground, and certainly as a 3-year-old, I can see her hitting the line hard late. And White Gate, no spoil, but I've thrown in Broadband for 4th, number 7. 13.147.
Sandown on top for me, very talented filly, one with a bit of authority first up at Sandown, has been put away for this race. I did think they were going to the Captives in another week's time, but that might actually be saved now for Etcetera instead, which is interesting. But Sandown's certainly good enough to win here from Shoals, who's the class runner. Ramuz did the nice job first up and draws to get a soft trailing run. And then She's So High in 4th as well. 8, 1, 6 in 13.
1 for me, Shoals to beat 3 Limestone, 6 Ramuz, and just wanted a bit of odds. Impressive midweek first up, and that's number 10, Blondie.
Good to see Jake Duffy staying aboard Sanidart too. Hayes Davenick Yard giving the young bloke a go. Got a couple of rides there on Saturday, so hopefully he can reward them.
Yes, well, I think we're going to have unanimity in the next event, which is the second leg of the quaddie, race 7, Strathmore Community Bendigo Bank Stakes. 1200 metre listed event, and pretty hard to miss the first up run of Brave Smash.
Yeah, well, the early money around early in the week for him suggested he was going pretty well, and he ran right up to that. It was a super run, charging home, fast splits, and just couldn't pick up Vega Magic. But obviously, that form line's very strong. He's going to be really short and really well found. And you know, at those odds, you probably want to take a couple of others in your quaddie just in case. But look, he goes on top for me from number 7, Well Sprung. I think might be a good roughie. Usually races well at Moonee Valley. He's trialled well. Does usually improve after a run. But I think at a bit of odds, he can run a cheeky race. 1 Keen Array. Interesting to see what they do with him over the 1,200, over the 1,000 from the wide gate. They snagged him and he hit the line hard. They might ride him cold again. And number 8, Oak Door, was good first up in for 4th. 2.7.1.8.
Another race I want to get too heavily involved. Brave Smash on top. There's a lack of opposition, isn't there? There was a jump out 6 days before his first up run in the Testarossa Brave Smash, and he left Blackheart Bart absolutely stranded on the spot. And that's why I suppose he was $8 into 3.20 and he ran up to it with a great second. He should be awfully hard to beat here, but Moonee Valley first time, it can bring plenty unstuck, and I don't want to touch him at the price. El Divino for second, Centre and Alone for third, Oak Door for fourth, but yeah, another race I like.
Brave Smash for me, number 2 to beat 1 Keen Array. 10 El Divino and 8 Oak Door. Race 8 is the big one, the Dato Tan Chin Nam Stakes. Standard weight for age over 1600, a Group 2. Worth $250,000, Joel, and those first up, as I mentioned, include 2 from the Robert Hickmott stable, just to make our task easier. We got Tavigo coming back for Busseton and Young, and then the 2 mares for Baker and Forsman over from New Zealand, including the one who might strike a blow for the Kiwi Breds back in the Melbourne Cup, Lizzie Lamore.
Well, this is a tough race. I no confidence at all. I'll be taking 6 horses in my quaddie, and I struggled to come up with a top 4, but I ended up going with a couple that finished alongside each other in the Lawrence Stakes. I've already seen the form lines through that race hold up reasonably well. I've gone with 4-star Exhibit. He'd be fitter. Race didn't really pan out for him first up, but I think he can improve sharply off of that. Abby Marie, I thought, hit the line well in that same race. She obviously needs to step up a bit, but she may well do that this time in. 8 Articus has a bit of upside about him. I didn't think it was bad first up. Obviously a much easier race, but it was a race that probably wasn't for him with the big weight. And Lizzie Lamore in for fourth, number 10. But 2 Tavago and 11 Bonneville go in my quaddy.
Yeah, interesting, Rogue. So I've gone with Tavago on top first up. He was heavily backed in this race last year and then produced a shocker. Less depth in this year's event, considerably less depth. He'll probably get conditions to suit because the rain is falling on and off here in Melbourne on this Thursday, and there's more predicted between now and race day. And
never gets that wet though, does it?
Oh, it's Mooney Valley though. It's a bit of a sponge. I expected the race in the soft 5, soft 6 sort of category on Saturday. If 13 degrees and rain on Saturday, hopefully it opens it up a bit. So anyway, under those circumstances, each way 16-1. There's no chance if this race was in New Zealand at weight for age conditions, it'd be double the price of Lizzie Lamore. Probably says a lot about the respect we got for Murray Baker and D. Oliver, I suppose. For second, he's our Rocky. This is his big chance to win a nice race at weight for age. For third, number 7, Sir Isaac Newton. That's based on his European form, and his Caulfield Cup run was okay. And Abby Marie in for fourth. I've gone with 2, 5, 7, and 9.
For Star Exhibit, I'm with Joel to beat 11 Bonneville. 5, he's our Rocky, who marked a $3.40 favourite in your winning post, and 2, Tavago. What do they do about this race? Because, free ticket into the Cox Plate, you've got, he's our Rocky $3.40 favourite to win it, and, God love to have him in the backyard, but you wouldn't be backing him in a Cox Plate.
No, he doesn't get 2,000 metres, I don't think. It's maybe the factor of Winx as well. Maybe in a perfect world, a horse like Hartnell would be running in this race, but obviously with the Craig lead in the week's time, he's going to go to the bigger track. So,
but he gets into the Cox Plate and he doesn't need to
get a free ticket or see the track or acclimatise himself with the venue. Bumping it up to $500,000 is not going to do anything either. So, Mooney Valley is in a bit of a rock and a hard place with this race.
Might do something, can't you?
Just get rid of it.
All right, so that wraps up the black type there. Does anyone have anything in particular to say about the last leg of the Quaddy, the Powerflow Solutions Craig Opie Cup over 1,600 metres?
Not particularly, but it's another race with, I think, plenty of chances. I'm feeling lucky. I think might have been a hidden run first up. Former Perth mare. She can settle a lot closer to the pace as she did in WA. And if there's a little bit of support for her, I could back her each way. Big Duke, Etymology, Stampede, Raw Impulse, the others that I'd be looking at for my quaddy.
Yeah, Petrology each way for me. He might just be suited at Mooney Valley. Hasn't really finished off his past two when he's had every opportunity to do so. Plenty of pace in the race. Stampede here to there on Piccolo Mahani will go forward, but there's enough sort of swoopers to bring him into the race. The likes of Big Duke, Boom Time, and Raw Impulse. 4 of the top 5 in betting are swoopers in this last race, so that's quite interesting.
All right, well, my best is Brave Smash, which is not particularly brave, is it? And probably, in fact, foolhardy, Carl, because, as you say, first up at Mooney Valley. But for once, my value bet is actually in something like each way odds, and that's race 2, number 6, Abero. Carl, we have heard about your best and value bets, they being race 8, number 2, Tavago, your value bet, race 9, number 6, Petrology. Joel, your value bet was She's So High in the Atlantic Jewel, that's race 6, number 13. Tell us about your best, race 3, number 3, Anaheim.
Yeah, I think he strikes a pretty winnable race first up here, Anaheim. He wasn't able to win last prep. He was good first up at Sandown, kept finding the line well in a benchmark 78, and then beaten less than 2 lengths by Haydock and the Australian Guineas, went to Sydney, matched it with classy 3-year-olds, as I said, wasn't able to win, but certainly showed his class, and first up, 1,500 should suit, pretty well in with the 58, and yeah, it's not a strong 78, but to be wary of rushing in to take any sort of a price, because whilst you've got Brahmos there as second emergency, you're going to get smashed in deduction, so maybe just hold off and see the final makeup of the field, but Anaheim should go pretty close.
Rosehill Gardens, the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday, and as at the Valley we have 4 black type races, and pretty fascinating ones too. We start with race 4, Kari Stanfox Stakes, 3-year-olds, 1,500, Group 2, Joel.
Yeah, I went three Addictive Nature to win again. Only just held on from a really good run of the runner-up in Assimilate. But certainly he looks to have plenty of upside about him. He'll make his own luck, and I think he'll take beating again. Three Addictive Nature from eight Sanctioned, who thought did a good job sitting outside the lead in the up-and-coming. Again, he'll be fitter for that. I think a step up in distance will probably suit this son of Teofilo. In for third, number one, The Mission, the Group 1 winner, resuming. Obviously well-suited at the set weights, and, well, he just tore away from his rivals in a recent trial. He can go a bit keen. I guess that's the query with him first up at the 1500, but if he settles well enough, he'll be competitive. And four, Esterark. Was in a sort of restricted room there in the up-and-coming. He can improve off of that. 3-8-1-4.
Gold Standard on top. I'd like to throw in the up-and-coming, and that was when it was second. Won well prior and then chased home Addictive Nature in the race that Addictive Nature sat outside the lead and controlled before winning at Warwick Farm on debut. So similar sort of form lines with the fancied runner in this race night, but I think it should get a run, a nice run from the barrier and get the job done here. From four, Esterark, nice effort first up, improve over further, I suspect. Third, number eight, Sanctioned. And for fourth, number three, Addictive Nature. 7, 8, 7, 4, 8, and 3.
Race 5 at Rose Hill Gardens on Saturday. Theo Marks Stakes. 1,300 metre Group 2 was won a couple of years ago by a mare called Winx. And we've got a mare called Egg Tart here, who has started her own picket fence, including the Queensland Oaks. Is that where the parallels end, John?
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see. If there's a lot of people have been spruiking her trials, and as you said, comparisons with Winx. It'll be interesting to see what the market does in the lead up to the race. Of course, Winx was just outstanding winning this race first up, and smaller field to contend with for Egg Tart this year than Winx had to. In saying that, I'm going with a bit of an old favourite in number four, Dixie Blossoms. She needs to step up a little bit this prep, but she's never run badly. She was good first up in the Triskay, and that was with the 59, giving a lot of weight away to the rivals in the autumn. And then, of course, one second up, just walked in there on the heavy track and didn't have much luck in the Coolmore and bounced back with two good runs after that. She's flying at the trials, two wins. And I think she'll be very hard to beat from six Egg Tart, one Fox Play. Well, we've already seen her this season, and she pushed Winx. So that's obviously a strong form. She does have to give the weight away here. And three Deploy continues to race well. 4, 6, 1, 3.
Yeah, Egg Tart for me. I think she's quite talented. I'm actually quite self-satisfied and proud with the fact I put her in the trial file. Before her maiden win, and then she's just gone bang, bang, bang ever since. But I didn't expect her to reach the heights that she did, I must concede. And if she takes the next step, you never know, she might be the one of the dangers for Winx in the Cox Plate. Recent trials have been excellent. For second, number one, Fox Play, who almost did beat Winx first up in the Warwick Stakes. Third, number eight, Canny Essen, who's flying for the Hayes Stable, and did a nice job behind Haydock last time. And for fourth, number four, Dixie Blossoms, who is always capable first up.
Race six, first leg of the quaddie at Rosehill Gardens, is the Irresistible Pools Scirocco Stakes. 1,200 for fillies and mares, Joel.
Going with 12, Gibraltar Girl here. Needs to step up and certainly produce a career best, but she's a talented mare. She had no luck at Scone in what turned out to be a pretty strong form race there in the Denise's Joy. She resumed first up, had a bit of support, and she ran well, just got too far back off that very quick time that Super 2 was setting up front. She hit the line well for third. She's trialled nicely since. Look, I was looking for Kay McAvoy to ride to get a bit of a lead, but he rides Ravi. I suppose he has ridden her quite a fair bit. Adam Hieronymus, though, no, he's not going to put me off. So I'm going to go Gibraltar Girl to beat seven Bonnie O'Reilly. Just a real winner, another wide gate to contend with, as she had a couple of times in the Queensland winter. Two, Omei Sword, hit the line really well when the race was all over after nearly falling at the start there first up, and eight, Ravi in for fourth, 12-7-2-8.
Yeah, two, Omei Sword on top for me. I was impressed by the trials leading into that, you can say luckless first up run, but she's only got herself to blame when she almost knuckled at the start, and she did a nice job to pick herself up and find the line. trialled nicely on Monday, stepped out of the barriers quite okay. It was faultless, so she's still in one piece. She's by High Chaparral, but she doesn't want to get over too much ground, and she certainly possesses enough pace to be competitive here. Throw to the dam side, I suspect, out of Irish Lights, the 1,000 guineas winner. So I've got her ahead, number 8, Ravi, who is capable first up. Ran a nice race behind Secret of the Gentle and Miss Rock on a soft track at Rose Hill in the Sapphire Fresh Last Prep. Third, number 7, Bonnie O'Reilly, very consistent over this distance range. And fourth, number 3, Daisy Doom.
Race 7 is the big one at Rose Hill Gardens. It is for 3-year-olds over 1,200 metres, set weights and penalties. And it's at Group 2 level, and it is Joel, the Run to the Rose. It's been, since they brought it back from 1,300 to 1,200, I think it's been won 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7 times by first uppers. This one, though, is seen as a race in three between two who have had the lead-up run. That's Pariah, who won the San Domenico, and Minari, who won the Rose Bud. And Kemantari, the first upper for James Cummings and Godolphin. And the importance of this race is indicated by the fact that the past three, who have all been first up, the past three winners have all gone on to win the $1 million Golden Rose at their next start. So it seems like a very reliable guide to the main three-year-old sprinting feature of the Sydney Spring. Is it? I know you are, in fact, with. And I guess the other thing that I did mention earlier about this race to note is that it is. It and the Golden Rose, in fact, have been pushed a little bit further back in the calendar by a week or two. So that very good run of the first up horses may well come to an end, given that we're already well into September. This race normally late in August. Joel, you are with one of those horses that has already shown their goods as a three-year-old.
Yeah, we're certainly tossing up between Minari and Kemantari. Probably leaning to the latter in the Golden Rose just at this point. But for Saturday, I've gone with Minari, drawn the outside gate, which has certainly made his task tougher. He seems a pretty push-button horse, doesn't seem to want to over-race, sort of hasn't showed any of those traits. And just hopefully Josh Park can get him to settle and maybe, you know, get him into a decent spot. He was very good first up winning the Rose, but let down with a really good turn of foot, had the big weight there, the 60.5. He should be unbeaten on good ground. He won his debut, should have beaten Pariah clearly, I thought, in the Canterbury. At his next start, interesting, Pariah and Minari ran exactly the same time, winning first up in the San Domenico and the Rosebud. But Minari on top for me from Kemantari, looks a real talent. He's been trialling really well and showed that explosive turn of foot to win his second start for Pariah in for third. Did get a lovely ride by Blake Shin first up, it must be said, but he'll probably get a good run again from that draw. And one Invader, not ruling him out from a Golden Rose point of view either. I thought he was did more than enough against the older horses in the show county first up. He'll probably want 1,400. 5-10, 4-1.
Went with number 10 on top, Kemantari. I just, the one knock that has probably developed with me a little bit overnight with Pariah, but I've had for a while with Minari, is their ability to run out 1,200. And I just feel maybe the last 100, 150, when it gets a bit willing, Kemantari probably will eat up 1,400, might just be the one to finish over the top. So I've gone with 10, Kemantari on top from 7, Chauffeur, for the same sort of reason. This horse can definitely run out a strong 1,200. Was finding the line nicely behind Pariah for second in that San Domenico. And then I have put in 4 Pariah ahead of 5 Minari, but not much between them. And as Joel outlined, they ran same time over the track and distance in their most recent win.
All right, that wraps up the black type at Rose Hill. Joel's value bet we have had, that was Gibraltar Girl, race 6, number 12. Now, Carl, in characteristic fashion, you have left your best to the last two races. So let's start in race 8. Your value bet is number 8, Denpur.
This horse was scratched recently, and I liked it then, and I still like it now. I think it's in a suitable race. It ran nicely first up. It was denied clear running in the straight, but just finished on their backs in a benchmark 94 that contained a fair bit of depth, won by Badajoz. We'll get back in the second half of the field, but with Kieran McAvoy aboard, hopefully doesn't experience as much traffic problems. And the best bet is race 9, number 3, Interlocker. Bit underrated. I kind of think that sometimes as punters and pundits, after horses win two races, we get carried away and declare them champions, a bit like Elward at the moment. And In the Locker might be the one that they sort of talk about in another month, month and a half time in a similar sort of vein, because his form's fantastic. He's got great French form. He's, Australian form's fantastic as well. He finished ahead of Up and Rolling at his Australian debut, and that horse's second favourite for the Metropolitan. His next two starts afterwards, he won by 7 lengths and 4 lengths. His trials have been great, and he's 5-1, which is the same price as Elward is, as a benchmark 78 horse to win the Metropolitan. It's absolutely ludicrous, some of the prices you get these days.
Well, my best will go up against your value. My best is Zumbelina, race 8, number 13. Won 4 of her first 5, 3 of them on good track. She came back for the autumn, don't think she handled the heavy in the PJ Bell and the James Carr, and then she went to Scone and was running on and then hit a brick wall, sort of 100, 150 out, and didn't get tested late. Ran 5th coming out of that Denise's Joy race, which, as I mentioned earlier, proved a good form line. Now, if you're looking for one at absolute bolters odds in the last race, race 9, number 1, Got Unders. Might still be one run away, but ran some really good races last prep. 60-1, I think you can do a lot worse than have a couple of dollars on him.
Carl, we have a black type race at Morfordville on the course proper in Adelaide, but it's going to be some fairly cheap black type for someone, isn't it? It's race 4 of the Golden Thumbs Morfordville Guinea, 1600 for 3-year-olds, a listed event, but we already have two of Tony McAvoy's 3, and his better two really have come out.
They're the ones that are based down here and aren't going to travel across, I suspect, due to the track conditions.
And we've been 3 or 4 of the others. So it leaves a field of 8, and 3 or 4 of those are acceptors at Moonee Valley. So I suppose it depends on which ones of those are going to go across.
Exactly right. It's hard to know. At this stage, I've got Sky Punch on top. He's entered for Moonee Valley. And just before I leave that topic, probably a bit of bad programming with the Stan Fox, that 1500 metre race of the Valley and the Morfordville Guineas all in the one weekend. Maybe Morfordville Guineas could wait an extra week. I don't know how it fits in with the Hillsmith Stakes and everything like that, but maybe it's something to tinker with next year. Sky Punch on top. He's has a tendency to race a bit keenly, but there's been a few gear changes, and hopefully that corrects him. And if he does line up here, he'll be awfully hard to beat because he's got a great turn of foot. From to Muthamale. This horse is also entered at Moonee Valley, showed great courage after being tackled by Sheer Madness and continued to kick back on the inside. Third, I'm putting in number 3, Dobell. And for 4th, I'm putting in number 6, Amarok. But interesting race.
Could be a day for some all ups there for the big punters. Kelstorm, Night's Watch, Quilista, the Weir Treble Orcs to be pretty well found in the betting. I think you can start it off with Counterplay in the second. I think she's the bet of the day there for me.
Should get through. Best bet, Night's Watch, race 8, number 3. I've labelled him the poor man's Humidor because he just doesn't go straight. He's probably not got the ability of Humidor just yet, but he's tracking on nicely. He's even money, I think, is he? Even money?
Yeah, so 220.
More or less, so if you need the bomb out, maybe that's the way to go. And race 7, number 12, So You Too. So You Think, but he's best kept to 1,200 metres. And I expected him to be slightly longer in betting in Oberland to be very much short. But as it turns out, he's the favourite, so he's no value whatsoever.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Goomben is a venue for Brisbane racing. And, we're persisting their 9 races, Joel, but we've only managed to pull 88 acceptors, 5 of which are already out as we speak.
Yes, exactly right. So I think they had 8 entries for their open handicap and they never got any more. They opened it and ended up getting 7 acceptors. But yeah, in a small fields. A few tired netties up there. Sabcat, best bet, race 8, number 6. He's been the value, 2 starts this prep. He's run 4th and 2nd. Chased home Manias both times, as he did last week. So he's on the back up. Up to a mile, 3rd up, should be ideal. Barrier 1, the claim, he just ticks a lot of boxes, so we'll go with him. 3rd time lucky, Sabcat, and the value bet at around about $6 or $7, Madame Lily, race 7, number 8. has had a bit of a freshen since the first up run for Matty Dunn, was just caught in no man's land back and very wide and had no chance. She has performed against some pretty handy horses in her brief career. I think she can run well in this Class 3 race with a bit of luck.
Belmont's once again in Perth, and we've got a listed race. It's the Farnley Stakes, Race 5, an interesting concept where basically it's the same mob but opposed each other, and the idyllic prince at weight for age now oppose each other in a handicap, and as a result our man Greg Hooper is pretty confident about Just Act Natural, number 4. He was only beaten a long head or so by the smart It's It in the idyllic prince, and back to a handicap meets It's It 3.5 better, is drawn 2, should get the rail and should win, according to Hoops. Any further and better particulars, John?
No, not for me, not Belmont this week. No, I'm off the West racing at the moment.
Well, Zionite, race 4, number 7, is Hoops' value bet. Unable to find the rail last start, detrimental to his chances, should lead and dictate the event and give them something to chase. Well, there's plenty of good viewing earlier in the day across the Tasman, in particular at Ellerslie, where one of the most spectacular races in the world, the Great Northern Steeplechase, goes down.
Yes, be certain to tune in. You know, it'll get bumped to Sky 2, and if Delby's running later, it'll get bumped altogether probably, but hopefully we get to see all three laps all three times up the hill, because it is a really good spectacle, the 6,400 metres of the Great Northern. Race 7 it is on the Ellerslie card. Paul Hamblin with a ride, riding Uppercut over there, so a bit of Aussie interest, but I've gone with number 3, Wise Man Say, to beat the veteran number 1, Armanude Lad. The Great Northern Hurdle is race 5, and that's where my best bet goes around. It's Razor Fuasho, race 5, number 4. He'll run out a strong 41.90. He hit the line hard in this race last year. He's a talented hurdler. Gets back, but as I said, he'll be storming to the line. And my value bet there at Ellerslie was Critic's Choice, race 10, number 9. Hasn't been running too badly of late, and this isn't a strong benchmark 65. I think represents a fair bit of value there in the last. Wanganui is the other meeting, and smallish fields, but they do have a couple of listed races. My best bet comes up in race 2. It's number 4, High Quality. Promising Stayer did a good job off a 2-month break over the 2,000 metres last start. Will be fitter and should be very hard to beat. And my value bet comes up in one of the listed races. It's race 5, number 9, Craggy Range. A daughter of Savabeel, she debuted in a strong 3-year-old race and only beat one home, but was only beaten 3.5 lengths, and it wasn't a bad effort. She goes straight into listed company, but I reckon a couple of the fillies that beat her home on debut would be very, very short to win this race. And John Barry, good trainer, knows what he's doing. Happy to back him in and have something on this unexposed filly. Race 5, number 9.
Okay, that takes care of a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. Leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. We've got all the form not only for Saturday, but for Friday and Sunday. And all your favourite features as well. Tony Kneebone's snippets column. We've got Shane Templeton. We've got Steve Pateman writing. And we've got Richo has caught up with the author of a new book about Tullock. So plenty of good reminiscences about Tullock in there. And Richo is also caught up with the former Group 1 winning jockey, David Taggart. So there's plenty of reading in your winning post this week. Make sure you do get a copy. Still only $5. And that leaves us with our best $20 bet for the weekend. What are you going
to do? Do we know what odds counterplay is?
Footville
race 2. I don't want to go if she's too short, but I think she'll win race 2, number 3. At Morphettville, while Carl looks that up. Barks, what have you got with us for us?
Canterplay is $2.40.
$2.40, well, that'll give you a bank for the rest of the day. She'll win.
All right, and possibly even before that, I think Samovar, the West Australian, is going to put the best hoof forward. On this occasion, I can't go Brave Smash, so I'm going race 1, number 3 at Moonee Valley, Samoa.
Hopefully he doesn't have to sit 3 wide this week without cover, because that was a bit of a painful watch, wasn't it?
Certainly.
In that small field. I'll go in the last race in Sydney. Race 9, number 3, Interlocker.
Indeed. So have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you, have a back plenty of us. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.